can hear all our conversations with the candidates on our website at listen.sdpb.org. We continue now meeting those candidates for the South Dakota Legislature. Up next, Howard Grenauger. He is a Democrat running for state senator from District 17. He also has not served in the State House, but from time to time he has served as the chaplain for both chambers. He joins us now from our Sioux Falls studios. Howard, welcome. Thanks for being here with us.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for this opportunity to visit with you.
We'll start again with a little bit of your background, because you've been to Pierre in some different ways. Tell us a little bit about that and why you're deciding to run for a seat in the State House.
Okay. Well, I'm a South Dakota, longtime South Dakota resident, with the exception of 3 years when I lived outside of the state going to school. I've always lived in South Dakota, and covered literally the whole state from Yankton to Milbank to Pierre to Rapid City. And so I have, a good sense of our state and some of the concerns that our people have. Why now? I've always had an interest in public service. Starting way back when I was fresh out of college, I had a cousin who became a mayor of a small town, and I thought, gee, that sounds interesting. And so later on, when I was living in Mount Vernon, I had the opportunity to serve first on the city council and serve as mayor. And so that really spurred my interest in public service.
You know, and people have come in and said, I'm interested in public service. And what strikes me is that there are many people who are not. It takes a certain kind of person to sort of feel that call, and that, because it's a tough, often thankless sort of job in some ways.
You know what, with my experience in terms of a small community, most of it was very positive.
Okay.
The people, as we gathered around the table to solve the concerns of our small community, worked well together. Now, every so often you had some things that were not very much fun.
Yeah.
You know, neighbors dealing with each other and expecting that the city council should help solve those
those
issues. But for the most part, my experience serving in that kind of a role was a very positive one, because I saw people from different parts of the community being willing to gather and help get things done. And I think when those kinds of things happen, it really blesses the community and helps us go where we want to go.
Tell us what some of those top issues that you think. Do you come with a basket of, these are things that we need to bring to Pierre, or do you come from a different perspective?
Last night when I was out knocking on doors, one of the persons asked me, well, what's one of the first things you want to do when you get to Pierre? And my response was very similar to what Kurt and actually the woman who was the architect said, and that is listen. You know, I think people are longing to have someone really listen to them and care about their concerns and seek to understand who they are and where they're coming from. And so I don't go necessarily with a long list of prescribed things. I want to get this and this and this done. But first is simply being willing to listen and putting myself in places where people can come and visit and share their concerns. And so I think that's the first place to start.
And the voters that you're meeting, are they finding that a breath of fresh air? Do you hear them saying, exhaling and saying, oh, thank goodness, I want to be heard? Are they connecting with that message?
I think so. It's interesting, as I go out and knock on doors, most people, when they come to the door, they have this kind of suspicious look
right.
on their face. And then you tell them who you are and why you're there. And for the most part, people are very gracious and very welcoming, and some will visit with you about their concerns. Others just talk about things that are happening in their own daily lives.
Yeah.
I've also gone out and visited with some of the superintendents in our district, which is Turner and Clay County, and to see what some of their concerns are. And then I also have stopped and visited with some of the administrators of some of the nursing homes in our community. Our communities, because I think that's another area of concern for me.
And what are you hearing as you sit and listen to, for example, school superintendents? What's the message that they really want to be heard right now?
You know, it's interesting. As I visit with them, they've brought a variety a variety of different kinds of expectations. And part of it depends upon whether their school is growing or not growing. If they're a school that is shrinking in terms of population, they're also shrinking in terms of resources that they're getting from the state, and that's very concerning to them. If they're growing or maintaining kind of a plateau, they financially they're more comfortable. They really appreciate the financial support that we've gotten from Peer in the last couple of years. But even then, it was interesting. One person talked about, they sent back money for teacher salaries, but they didn't send back any extra money for counselors or for aides or for custodians or, those kinds of persons who are also critical in the life of a school and critical to the education of our children.
And as the graduation requirements change to provide more flexibility, we're hearing from a lot of school superintendents that those counselors, their roles is really expanding from everything from a mental health perspective to, getting your credits in a different way than maybe was available to you a couple years ago. So
yeah,
that role of counselor becomes, I would suspect, will be more and more important. We'll hear that more often. How about nursing home administrators? What sort of issues were you kind of picking up from the ground there?
Part of it, some of the struggles for them are federal regulations over which the state monitors but does not have any control over in terms of setting. So that's part of the issue. Part of the issue also continues to be the issue of Medicaid patients. My understanding is that when someone comes in and is being paid by the state with Medicaid funds, if it costs $100 a day, for example, to care for a person, the nursing home gets $90 and are expected to cover their whole care, with less than what it costs them. And although they're doing that, it's becoming, increasingly more challenging. And just having had a mother recently that was in assisted living and we were looking at nursing home care and stuff, and you wonder about funding, personal funds, that's really a concern for many families. And I want to make sure that our nursing homes have adequate funds so that they can care for not only my parents, but someday me when I get there. And If I don't have the funds myself, and so that's a part of the concern.
As you knock on doors and you introduce yourself as a candidate, does your political party matter? Do you think to voters? Are you hearing, them ask questions that you would say are specific to party related issues, or do you think those distinctions fall away when you're door to door, face to face with someone?
The answer is, I think most people. Very seldom do I get that question. I've had about three or four people ask, "Did you vote for Trump?"
Okay.
But other than those three or four people, most people don't ask. On the literature that I hand out, I don't say I'm a Republican or a Democrat, and that does not seem to be an issue. What they're simply looking for is someone to listen and care about what they have to say.
You also talk about have substitute taught. You substitute teach. What is that experience of being a substitute teacher, teaching science particularly? What do you bring from that experience to a candidacy and possibly if voters decide to send you to Peer, to your policymaking?
I think part of the reason I both substitute teach and substitute preach.
Yeah.
But I've done that in Parker partially simply to get to know people and get to know the community. And I think that's a critical issue is how do you place yourself in places where you can get to know people and they can get to know you, because I think that's the critical issue. As I moved to Peer, one of the questions that was asked is, if the Democrats are still in a minority, how do you deal with a majority or supermajority of Republicans? And as I've thought about that question, I think the issue is it's in building of relationships. And so seeking out persons both in your own party and the other party, seeking to get to know them, seeking to understand where they're coming from, what their concerns are, And I think it's out of relationships that the best things, you know, good relationships that the best things can possibly get done.
Howard Granager, thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Howard is a Democrat from District 17. He's running for state senator. You can hear all our conversations with the candidates at listen.sdpb.org.